Cluster Conversations, a podcast by Africa Multiple.
Welcome everybody to the latest episode of the Cluster Conversation. My name is Martin Duvenspeck, political geographer at the University of Bayreuth. And I'm here today with Victor Iwoa, Dr. Victor Iwoa from Nigeria. Victor, welcome.
Good morning, Martin.
Victor, what is your favorite football club in Germany?
Oh, I love Bayern Munich.
Okay, wrong answer. I will continue with the serious stuff, Victor. Victor, could you briefly introduce yourself and tell us about you and your home university?
All right. My name is Victor Iwoha. I studied political science and obtained a PhD in political science in 2014 from the University of Nigeria, Nsukka. My area of specialization is international relations. My research focus is on international migration and security studies.
Okay, could you tell us a bit more on the about the University of Nigeria?
All right, University of Nigeria was established in 1960 as the first indigenous university in the country. It is located in southeastern part of Nigeria, where it has three campuses. It's a very massive university offering more than 100 academic programs. Of course, it has over 100 departments with 17 faculties. Okay. We have a student population of about 50,000. So it's a very, very prominent and very, very massive
big university compared to Bayreuth. Okay, so our common research interests are, let's say, the connections between mobility, security, and violence. I, as a political geographer, I could also call it, the political geographies of migration, the political geographies of mobility. So, however, you are a political scientist, and you have, of course, a different perspective on things than I do. How would you summarize your research interests in more detail?
All right, thank you. My research interest lies in international migration and security studies. So, generally, I focus on issues of migration, mobility, security, with special emphasis on European border externalization and securitization and the biometric identity system in third countries, especially in Africa. So, I look at their impacts on mobility and border security governance in general, and then migrants and their relationship with, you know, the intersections of all these put together alongside biometric identity system. So this is generally the focus of my research. And of course, beyond that, I also narrow down to non-dominant groups in society, the vulnerable in society, vulnerable groups, the refugees, the migrants, the women, displaced persons. So I look at all these groups and see how the European border externalization and securitization in Africa, in the global south, you know, the policies and border practices affect this section of the this group of people. So then in terms of approach, I adopt the decolonial approach. So what I do is to look at European border practices, securitization programs, and identity system to see how these are being organized to understand the power relations between the European authorities and the African governments, to see whether they are equal, to understand the level of power relations, you know, in these interactions. So this is generally the approach I adopt in looking at the issues.
Okay, thank you. I think we should come back to this decolonial approach later. But could you elaborate more on why it is so, why this nexus of mobility, migration, security is so relevant for Nigeria, and what the role of digitalization is?
Right, thank you. Currently, Nigeria grapples with issues of internal security problems. So we have, for instance, more than 1,400 porous borders, you know, unsecured border routes, where you have many transnational crimes, where you have all forms of criminality going on. Because these places are largely unsecured, they are largely ungoverned spaces. So you find a lot of security problems, especially where you have a sort of free movement around that region, you know, that is ECOWAS free movement regime. So with this situation, and again, you also find that Nigeria shares borders with some of our neighbors that we share border, like Chad, Benin, Cameroon, Niger. You also find that some of these countries, you also find security problems, national security problems. And then within these boundary areas, and especially within the Lake Chad region, you see complex manifestation of security problems, criminality, transnational crimes, terrorism, banditry, insurgency, even trafficking in persons and smuggling. So you see a delicate environment, security environment. So it's been a very, very serious security problems. It poses very serious security problems. So now, in addition, you also find that there is this, in historical sense, there is this claims of belonging, ancestral belonging of mainly the nomadic Fulani herders, who, you know, because of their nomadic lifestyle, they move a lot, you know, around these regions. So it is difficult to control movements, considering the porous nature of this environment, considering that these places are largely ungoverned spaces. So Nigeria really has a big task, you know, security challenges, you know, affecting its national security. So when you have this introduction of biometric identity system, which is a critical global agenda as captured in the SDG 16.9, so it becomes a huge opportunity for Nigeria to cash into it, to see how this can be used to regulate or control these security problems, to better manage mobility and movement of people across these regions. And of course, you have free movement of people. So it's been a very, very delicate situation and complex security situation to manage.
Mm. Absolutely fascinating. I mean, right now I'm learning a lot from you, because we are writing a paper together on biometric coloniality, and maybe you could summarize what this means, biometric coloniality.
Right. Thank you. We frame the concept of biometric coloniality to explain the alliance of global digital institutions, big tech companies from the global north, And then the compliant emergent biometric states in Africa. How these alliances operate at the base of lucrative digital consensus to carry out what we call techno-capitalist biometric identity interventions, which at the end of the day reproduce or replicate colonial forms and, you know, forms of domination. So that is the idea we represent by saying biometric coloniality. In other words, we show that these states in Africa who have subscribed to global digital systems and identity programs, which we refer to as biometric states, that because of these alliances with the global north, they have a kind of been alienated from the people, from society, to implement, you know, the digital consensus to the detriment of the people in most cases. So this is a situation whereby in doing so, you find that the African digital market is being dominated by big tech companies from the global south. So this kind of digital consensus or alliance, you know, with the global north and the biometric states facilitates a monopolistic domination of the African digital market, right? So that's the whole idea we want to portray with this biometric coloniality.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, Victor. I mean, you know, one of the core concepts of the cluster African multiple is relationality. And you have already talked about this externalization of EU borders or externalization of mobility control, migration control. So my question now is, what does Germany have to do with this biometric agenda? And what impact do German interests have in Nigeria?
Thank you. Of course, Germany is one of the countries from the global north that involved in this kind of digital consensus, because we find in the general sense a lot of actors from the global north, including governments, international organizations, digital companies, that is the big techs. So you also find such alliances. Like in the case of Germany, you have one of the biggest German big techs, like Damalog, is involved in biometric system in Nigeria. For instance, recently, Damalog had a contract with the Central Bank of Nigeria to install a biometric system, what they call bank verification system, you know, for 23 banks in Nigeria. And also you have this Idemia, which has also has roots in Germany. I know that the company is parented in France, but you also have a kind of subsidiary or merger or something like that with Germany. So you have some other companies that are also involved, and Idemia is the major company handling biometric identity system in Nigeria. So what we are interested in this kind of relationship is to ensure that there is level playing ground for all the parties involved, and to ensure that the people are being accommodated, because what we find on ground is a situation where you have people, the digital subjects, who at the end of the day kind of experience different levels of digital injustice, oppression, and the alienation in this regime of techno-capitalist digital intervention. So some of the digital subjects complain of their privacy being breached, their data privacy being breached. Some of them complain of being disempowered through the biometric system. Of course, the vulnerable groups, those people that could not access, perhaps because of their location in remote areas, the villages, countryside, they could not and have not been able to access these digital platforms or to enroll in biometric identity system. So you see that they are being economically disempowered. They do not benefit from social security system and many other things that they're supposed to benefit from the government. So you see that you see a kind of perpetration of disempowerment because digital subjects who produce, who are a kind of giving their details, these details that they give are being managed, all right, to their own detriment. So you see a kind of capitalist commodification and dispossession, digital disempowerment at the end of the day. So it's a major concern. So our interest is to see that this relationship, this digital relationship we have with companies from the global north, countries from the global north like Germany, that it is not used to the detriment of the people, that the people are being accommodated in all this process and not being disempowered. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Victor. You're staying until June, right. I think, but you will be back in Bayreuth already in January 25, right?
Yeah.
And then even for 18 months, I think, yeah. A year and a half. Yeah. Because you have been awarded a very prestigious fellowship from the Alexander von Humboldt Foundation.
Yeah.
I would like to take the opportunity to congratulate you on this.
Thank you.
And I'm also very happy because I will be your host again. Why don't you tell us what we can expect from you during this time from 25 on?
All right. Yes. Thank you. My research will also flow from what I've been doing. But this time around, I will be specifically focusing on the issue of migrant smuggling. I will look at measures being adopted by the global digital actors like the European Union, European authorities, to see the policies that have been put in place, especially the most recent policy on action plan against migrant smuggling, 2020 to 2025. So I'll look at the implementation of these policies and programs to see how they impact on migrant smuggling in Africa, especially in some of the what they call the spotlight states or the major countries. So that is what I'll be doing. Now, of course, it might interest you, of course, as you already know, that we have some partnership migration agreements. You have migration security development nexus, you have return migration, and you have this prevailing biometric identity system, which is ongoing. And of course, you also know that the World Bank ID4D, that is Identity for Development, is being implemented across a number of countries, many countries in the global south. So I'll look at the intersection of all these programs and policies and see how they affect the people. Especially when you talk about migrant smuggling, you know, we are going to focus on on these same vulnerable groups, these same displaced persons, as I mentioned earlier, the women, the refugees, you know. So I'll look at how they have been able to negotiate their way through these restrictive policies, right? Because these are people on the move. These are people that naturally they want to move and cross from one state to the other. And remember that we have a free movement, ECOWAS free movement regime on ground. So I'll look at how these people have been able to utilize their agentic mechanisms to challenge some of these programs that are very, very unfriendly and oppressive in nature, in quotes. So that is what I'll be looking at generally.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Victor. I think we got a very, very good picture of these interesting topics, fascinating topics you're working on. Thank you for listening. And yes, Victor, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Thank you again. Thanks, Martin.